Oh, blessings, everyone. It is truly an honor, and it has been a most humbled experience to work with such beautiful, beautiful souls. I am truly grateful that I had the honor to work with them. And so, on that note, share my screen, and I would like for Pat and Andy to start with the introduction of their group, and then Kathleen, and then Rosemary, and I will go last. So, Pat and Andy.
Thank you, Deanna. The beautiful members of our group that we have had the honor and privilege of working with are Kathy Mann, Brother John Carroll, Martha Meadows, Janice Stewart, Donna Hagens, and Catherine Keach.
Kathleen.
For my lovely group is Ginger Chambers, Ruth Stout, Beth Goodson, Sharon Zier, Marianne Bordeaux, and Swale Coco. Thank you.
And my group includes the beautiful Sharka Glett, Jody Robinson, Kelly Barnett, Christiana Noel, who is with us in spirit during our preparations, and Becky Cochran.
And my group, we have Imhotep, Jutatip, Marianne, Heidi, Colleen, Vera, and James, who also was with us in spirit. I would like to start off by saying that this presentation, the inspiration for this presentation is from one of Kryon's book written by Lee Carroll, entitled The Journey Home. And I thought it was so fitting with these beautiful photos by Beth Goodson, how it's a good representation of this journey home. But I have named it our return journey home. So sit back and enjoy. Ella pulls up her chair to her computer, excited about the first class of the year. Her fingers anxiously type out all the URLs to get to her email and click the link for the Zoom call. She has been waiting 4 months for this moment, her mind racing as to what the council will bring forth for the opening transmission. As she settles in her chair, she begins to go inward, taking deep breaths and focusing into her sacred heart. It wasn't long before this tranquil, almost viscous flow of peace and ease begins to fill every cell in her body. With each breath, Ella travels deeper and deeper into this warm and safe space. As if floating on a whisper, she hears, "We see your heart. It is filled with pure intent. We know the power of your desire to be an ascended master, and we are very pleased. There are some core understandings, truths, that you must know before you can open the door to your heart's desire. Are you willing to take the journey to not only discover, but embody these truths?" Ella feels this powerful energy come from her heart, but silently verbalizes a gentle, "Yes." The voice continues, "Are you willing to do whatever it takes to gain access to these truths?" Again, with the powerful energy from her heart, Ella says, "Yes." The voice ends the communication saying, "Blessings to your journey home." Ella opens her eyes. Instead of seeing her computer screen, she finds herself sitting outside in a place unknown to her. The sky is clear. There's a vibration in the aqua color that seems to surround her. In front of her, there's a row of neatly manicured bushes extending infinitely to the right and left. In the middle, a translucent gate shimmering in the sunlight. Although she feels she should question where she is, she doesn't. There is a knowing deep in her heart that this is somewhere familiar. She hears in her mind, "Walk through the gate." As Ella walks through the gate, she only travels a few feet when a clearing suddenly appears. She looks around to see smaller trees with brightly colored leaves, colors she has never seen before. "Hello." She turns to her right and notices three other people sitting on this illuminated bench. Ella looks at the three people and suddenly realizes that these are three people from her ascension group. "How did they get here?" she says in her mind. She walks over to them and sits down. All four begin to tell the story of how they arrived in this place. They all acknowledge that they were quietly focused in their sacred heart when they found themselves sitting outside the gate. Then Ella begins to feel that warm and peaceful feeling again throughout her body. She looks over to the others, and she could tell from their faces they are probably feeling the same. Her eyes gently close. She hears a whisper that floats through her entire brain. "We see your heart. It is filled with pure intent. We know the power of your desire to be an ascended master, and we are very pleased. There are some core understandings, truths, that you must know before you can open the door to your heart's desire. Are you willing to take the journey to not only discover, but embody these truths?" Ella feels this powerful energy come from her heart, but silently verbalizes a gentle yes. The voice continues, "Are you willing to do whatever it takes to gain access to these truths?" Again, with the powerful energy from her heart, Ella says yes. The voice ends the communication saying, "Now your return journey truly begins." As they all are feeling that very tangible feeling of peace and warmth, two doors instantly appear before them, in front of them. They stand up quickly, look at each other, and then without thought, shuffle themselves so that Ella is standing next to Esase, and Ula is standing next to Uessa. The door to the left has shimmering gold symbols. The door to the right also has shimmering gold symbols, but are different. Again, without thought, Ella and Esase move in front of the door to the left, and Ula and Uessa move in front of the door to the right. Ella speaks out loud as if in a trance, "Now and now our journey truly begins. Blessings." Ella and Esase simultaneously walk through the towering door. Instantly, they are transported to a realm filled with a bright crystalline white, unknown to either of them. Trying to adjust their eyes to the brightness, there appears a spherical object. They look up to see the enormity of this structure, as if it holds up the whiteness around them. They also see the sphere looks crystalline in appearance, with small facets that appear and disappear, almost like they are flashing some sort of code. An opening manifests in front of them. They walk through. Floating in the air, they read a banner that says, "Welcome to the School of Divine Design." As Esase and Ella look around, They immediately notice that the opening has disappeared, and they seem to be standing in the middle of rows and rows of hallways spreading outward in numerous directions, too numerous to count. As they continue to look around, suddenly a figure appears in one of the hallways. "Hello, beloveds. We have been expecting you. Please follow me." Ella and Esase follow the figure past several doorways, some with symbols, others emanating frequencies that resonate in their bodies. The figure turns to the right and stops at the door that has quantum singularity written on it in shimmering white letters. The figure beckons them to enter. They enter into a circular room with two translucent chairs and a projection screen in front of them. The figure telepathically asks them to sit down. To their surprise, Ella and Esase see members of their community magically appear in front of them. Andy is the first to step forward to speak.
"Greetings, masters. What is a singularity in scientific terms? To understand the concept of a singularity is, imagine the force of gravity is extraordinary and this force is compressing you down into an infinitely tiny point so that you occupy no volume. That sounds impossible, and it is. Classical Newtonian physics does not handle physics at very small distances. For this, you need to add quantum physics into your model to allow for a description of the quantum effects. This led to the development of Einstein's theory of general relativity, which resulted in the first theoretical existence of singularities or black holes. The key word here is theoretical, as it remains a mystery as to what these objects would look like. Further development of the theory of general relativity led to the concept that the initial state of the universe was a singularity at the time of the Big Bang. So there are basically two types of singularities, according to Stephen Hawking. Singularities either occur entirely in the future, which would be a black hole singularity, or entirely in the past, which would be a Big Bang singularity. However, these types of singularities aren't represented physically. They are mathematical. Black hole singularities are created after the core of a very massive star collapses beyond its event horizon. Black hole singularities are considered to be infinitesimally small, but they possess infinite density. Black hole singularities are known to exist throughout the known galaxies, so therefore, they do not contain all of the matter and energy in the universe. And black hole singularities are always in the future. If you go near one, your time comes to an end. Whereas Big Bang singularities, there was only one, and as such, it contained all of the matter and energy in the universe. The Big Bang singularity created space, time, and all of the matter and energy that we know today. And Big Bang singularities always lie in the past. If you were to rewind time, galaxies would become closer together and eventually coming together at a single point. So in scientific terms, a gravitational singularity is also referred to as a space-time singularity, which means it is a location where the gravitational quantities can become infinite. However, a quantum singularity is a science fiction term that can mean whatever the writer wants it to mean because it sounds very sophisticated. Quantum singularities were a big deal throughout the many seasons of Star Trek, which was often ahead of its time. Quantum singularities referred to a point or region in the space-time continuum where normal physical models did not apply and extraordinary amounts of gravitational forces were present. So in Star Trek terms, a quantum singularity actually resembles what is really a gravitational singularity, or a massive localized distortion of space and time. So what does all this mean? It means that singularities divide the universe into two worlds, a world where everything moves slower than the speed of light, and a world where everything moves faster than the speed of light. It means that a singularity is an extremely dense region of the space-time continuum, which produces extremely powerful gravitational forces that are not measurable. It means that a quantum singularity is a point at which all physical laws are indistinguishable from one another and suggest areas where the laws of physics could cease to exist. It means that a singularity in physics is a point that has an infinite value, and since an infinite quantity cannot occur in our understanding of nature, many scientists do not consider them real. A one-liner that I enjoy is that if you can't explain it simply, you simply do not understand it enough. And now we will hear from Pat.
Greetings, dear masters. Andy's scientific discussion of quantum singularity identifies gaps and unknown explanations yet to be determined in understanding quantum singularity. I will present the voices of our dear group members using snippets of their thoughts from their own written presentations. Brother John speaks of the elegance of mathematics to bring light to the unknown explanations of quantum singularity by science. Perhaps not traditional mathematics by theoretical physicists, but mathematics as seen within holograms and attention points that we can see deep within ourselves. He further states that quantum singularity can increase our understanding with a collective, such as our crucible, Temple of Light. Martin Meadow discusses an interpretation of quantum singularity using the parable of the nine blind men in a room with an elephant. Each man is only able to identify the thing they touch in terms of their limited visual perception, while none of them actually describe this thing as an elephant based on this limited perception. Marcia suggests that looking at the elephant from a higher level, in other words, higher consciousness with open eyes, open hearts, we would see an elephant and perhaps even a herd of elephants representing attention points. Catherine Keach draws from our PowerPoint story of the spiritual group members. Catherine feels they are guided by the intentions in their hearts to take this journey using the available energies around them to become ascended masters. She proposes that the group draws lights from their chakras that could also be quantum singularity. When they finish their journey, their creations, she says, may melt back into the energetic field. Kathy Mann mentions that current science omits metaphysical science, scientists, and theorists such as Nassim Harriman, Bruce Lipton, and Greg Braden's work, that they speculate the gaps within science to understand such a concept as quantum singularity can be explained by simply going deep within. Kathy quite simply and insightfully tells us the quantum and its singularities are within each of us in the middle of our torus, and we can access that through meditation. Janice Stewart tells us we are the living, breathing, conscious states of singularity, and quantum's collective unity embodied simultaneously. And as creator gods, we express our divinity nature in all of our within and without activities, always both being the she now and becoming the she at vaster creative cosmic levels through source's first ray. And myself, Pat, I am grateful for the insights of our group as they strive to understand quantum singularity at a very deeper spiritual level through study, meditation, and listening to their own wise inner guidance. I too believe quantum singularity is found within us as we quiet ourselves, listen, meditate, and observe attention points and holograms. Interestingly enough, biographies such as Albert Einstein tell us that as a very young man, he quieted himself and visualized many of his theories, which does sound a lot like meditation. These theories are still being proven by physicists today, suggesting current science and spirituality can weave together. I would add that I too believe quantum singularity is found within us as we quiet ourselves, listen, meditate, observe with open hearts and minds. Let's trust ourselves now that we are masters and the way showers leading the way. And let's begin this process with meditation led by Sharon.
Thank you, Pat and Andy. So I asked in meditation to be taught about quantum singularity, and this is what I was shown. My vision began with a night sky full of stars. Some of the stars were shimmering and large. Some were small and dim. I reached for a large shimmering star and put it to my mouth to taste it. It was like biting into the most sweet, delicious, juiciest apple I've ever had. I then brought a small and dim star to my mouth, and it was like taking a bite out of an apricot. Nice and worth the taste, but definitely not as sweet as the larger star that tasted like an apple. I heard, all experiences are valid and worthy of a taste. My view was then taken from the night sky to the ground, where I saw a white stucco-like wall about 5 or 6 feet high and about 2 feet thick. At the top and middle of the wall was a large circular opening integrated into the wall. I watched as a child, about 5 or 6 years old, but with an undeniable wisdom, crawled up two large blocks or boxes to reach the circular opening in the wall. This child crawled into the circular opening and lounged back, relaxing, with its back supported by the wall, left leg bent on the wall, and the right leg freely dangling off the edge. My sense was this was my soul. This wise, observing child was there to witness the event that was about to occur. The scene pulled back, and I observed myself from behind as light lines began coming into my heart chakra. There were many, many light lines of every color, some shimmering gold and white, some green, some gray, but all were very focused, and with an increasing intensity and speed, they gathered into a single black point in my heart chakra. It's here I just want to remind everyone of what we've been taught about blackness in a vision. To me, when I see blackness in a vision, I interpret it as endless potential, rich with endless creative potential and the promise of that which is yet to be created. Much like the black night sky at the beginning of the meditation, the black sky was endless and full of creative potential and an exciting energy that was palpable. Now, as I watched the focused lines of light as they gathered into a single black point in my heart chakra, I was then pulled by a force into the body I was observing, and I could feel all the lines behind me speeding to the center. The lines behind me felt like past lives. The lines to the side coming to my center felt like parallel lives, and the lines in front of me coming into my center seemed like future lives or future potentials. The force pulling them into my center increased dramatically until all were in my heart chakra. Then a single black point exploded out in every direction into a golden white shimmering light. I felt an ecstatic joy and a sense of completion. This sense of completion, for this aspect of creation anyway, lasted for about 30 seconds. Next, I felt a golden spiral come up from the ground and spiral through my central column, up through my crown, about 8 to 10 feet. I looked up, and through the circle in the wall was the child, observing, with no reaction, just witnessing the event. Lastly, I looked up through the circle in the wall and up to the night sky, where there was now a golden keyhole. A keyhole opening, which was radiating a beautiful golden white shimmering light. I knew when looking at this radiating keyhole that it was symbolizing the next stage in our process of ascension, a whole new challenge of co-creating with Source, which I sensed goes on and on into infinity. I was reminded of an expert from Awakening Osiris, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which reminds us, you will never reach the end of your own becoming. The madness of creation, the joy of existence. Dance in the moment, reach down and pull up song. We were gods then and we knew it. We are gods now, dancing like stars in the night, radiating everywhere, complete. This is the day without end, the passage into light itself. Go and make of the world something beautiful. Set up the light in the darkness. Remembering this knowing of our journey home, I heard amen and amen. It is now my pleasure to pass the light on to beautiful Beth Goodson.
Thank you so much, Sharon. That was lovely. It really gave us the inspiration that you were feeling, and as we all enter into our meditative process, channeling, whatever it may be, that puts us in absolute certainty with the light. In our group, I would just like to distill some of the essence of what we were talking about, quantum singularity. Quantum singularity leads us to understand that through our own self-realization and creation of our light body, our capacity to follow the master teachings and move through space and time with the right intention and attention. We can change the reality of the cosmos to fall into alignment with Creator of all that is. So as we focus on those important words, I would like to pass this light on to Kathy Bradley, who helped us lead us through all of this work that we performed together, to tell us how do we get this information to the group at large.
Beautiful. Thank you, Beth. So why is quantum singularity important to the group? A quantum singularity is used in Star Trek to refer to a point or region in the space continuum where normal physics models do not apply. In effect, the singularity divides the universe into two, a world where everything moves slower than the speed of light and a world where everything moves faster. The law of physics in these two realms could not turn out to be quite different. I would like to share a quote with you from the Galila Collective. You can think of timelines as wonderful, beautiful bubbles existing in the cosmos. every single timeline that you could ever possibly think of, dream of, create, exists in the multidimensionality of yourself as source. In keeping with this, I want to share about an image I received while in meditation with my beloved soul sisters. I was shown an image of a boat. We were to maintain an equilibrium and to continually keep our eye on the horizon. We were being magnetically drawn to the horizon as we kept our attention point upon it. We were to create heaven on earth. Shambhala. We were doing this in the midst of the dismantling of the old and creating the new. With this divergence that was taking place, it was of the utmost importance that we play our roles as the masters of light. As people began to notice us, they saw a way out of the chaos and the noise. We were embodied masters, setting a clear example for others to emulate. As we continued to sail to our destination of Shambhala, we helped many souls on board our boat. These were the souls that were open to seeing the light, but they just didn't know where to begin or how to go about it. After this meditation, an amazing thing happened. Maria Paz, who was present during the meditation, sent a few images she had appreciated from a wonderful mystic and artist, Nicholas Roerich. This image is a perfect depiction of my vision. We are each to be a beacon of hope, inspiring others to remember who they truly are, ascending masters of light. As we look around the boat, we become aware there are many individuations of the divine, each representing a beautiful facet of a multidimensional diamond. Ruth is glowing as the unification is taking place, bringing in all her different aspects of self into singularity. Swale is transforming her body and creating matter within matter. Marianne realizes together, all of our energies affect the all that is. Ginger is seen in her Merkaba, reflecting the ideas we are studying and embodying. Beth is a way shower, realizing how we interact sets an example, which then fractals and carries far beyond our group, like diamonds on the water. Sharon looks up to the stars in the night sky, seeing all the potentials that exist. And Kathy, I stand in my divinity, sovereignty, knowing the innermost wisdom resides within. Patricia, Andy, and their group share this wonderful gift. As I was telling Patricia about my vision, she came through with a luminous gyroscope, reminding us this is a device used for measuring or maintaining orientation and angular velocity. It is a spinning wheel or disc in which the axis of rotation is free to assume any rotation by itself. When rotating, the orientation of this axis is unaffected by tilting or rotation of the mounting. In conclusion, together, remaining stable, focused, and steadfast as the ascending masters of light, we create a wave of positivity. With ease and grace, we allow our mission to be realized. We are each the creator of light, paving a clear path to embody self-realization and the oneness of all that is. And the last thing that they wanted me to bring forth is the sense of humor. And they said, if you ever feel off kilter, we are reminded of our purpose with their sweet little ditty. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Thank you and blessings.